Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
All right, everybody, we are just moments removed from Canelo Alvarez 11th round TKO or knockout, whatever you wanted to classify it, of Caleb Plant. He is now the first ever super middleweight, undisputed super middleweight champion, and he is undoubtedly the king of boxing. Welcome in to a rapid reaction Inside Boxing Live. It is currently 1 a.m. here on the East Coast. My adrenaline is still pumping. Depending on when you're listening to this, your adrenaline is still pumping. Canelo Alvarez's adrenaline is still pumping right now. Caleb Plant, I think, is concussed. No post-fight interview as of now. But what a fight. What an actual really good card from top to bottom if you put it all together with some spectacular knockouts that we'll get to a little later on. But it's all about Canelo Alvarez. He is the man right now at 168 pounds. He clears out the division in 12 months. I mean, look what Canelo has done in the last 12 months. Beating Callum Smith, beating BJ Saunders, beating Anvi Yildirim. That was also this month. And clearing out a whole division, becoming the guy at 168. We'll also talk about what's next for Canelo. Who do you want to see him fight next? But let's talk about the event as a whole. Las Vegas, Canelo back on Showtime, back on pay-per-view. We'll find out the numbers because I know people are going to be digging for those pay-per-view numbers. First pay-per-view fight for Canelo in his last five or six fights. His last few have been on that subscription-based platform with DAZN. So a huge live gate for this one. I know that Stephen Espinoza, Showtime, was touting that all week, that this was the biggest gate in Vegas, bigger than any UFC event. This one did feel big. This fight felt different than Canelo's last couple of fights, probably because he was facing an American, probably because he was facing a guy in Plant that had been featured on Fox, had been featured on PBC, did good ratings on PBC. And this one did feel big. A lot of celebrities in attendance, a lot of buzz from everything I was seeing on Twitter and everything I was hearing from my friends that were there in Vegas. So that was good for boxing. The lead up was there. The slap heard around the world that we saw a few weeks back at the press conference. Everything was building up to this night, and it felt big. It did feel like a huge night. And it ended with Canelo Alvarez erasing Caleb Plant in the 11th round and what was a tight fight. You know, maybe to the naked eye, Plant was, you know, up until maybe the 10th round, parts of the latter half of the 9th, was still landing his jab, you know, wasn't looking visibly hurt or visibly, you know, bruised or bloodied, was still pumping a jab, but not like he was pumping it in the first couple rounds. You know, I told you all week long that Canelo Alvarez is a slow starter. He downloads data. All the cliches you want to hear about a slow starting fighter. And he usually picks it up in like the 6th or 7th round, Canelo. This fight, he gave Plant 3 rounds. First 3 rounds, Plant outlanded Canelo Alvarez. Round 4 is when Alvarez stepped up the pace. Subsequent rounds after that, you start to see a difference. going to the body? I mean, geez. Half of Canelo's landed punches were to the body of Caleb Plant. That's something that if you've been following along with us at CompuBox, we told you the numbers, Canelo versus tall fighters, 4 fights with fighters above 6 foot, Canelo had landed 173 body shots. You can now add 50 plus to that, because that was the difference in this fight, is he was hammering Plant to the body, slowing him down, and then teeing off. To me, I think it's one of the most exciting styles in boxing today. It's Canelo style. And we're seeing other fighters kind of adapt it. Tank Davis has it. Jermell Charlo has it to a lesser degree. But it's this tightrope that Canelo walks where he'll throw 25, 30 punches some rounds, give up rounds, setting traps, and then being so confident in his power late to evaporate opponents. We've seen it with Kovalev. This was almost like kind of the same fight as the Sergey Kovalev fight. That was also an 11th round knockout, where the only difference in this fight is that I think that Canelo was was a little more ahead or was in more control of this fight than he was against Kovalev. I thought he was possibly down against Kovalev. When he knocked out Saunders, yes, Saunders won a few rounds, but I still had Canelo up in this one. Still had Canelo up in this fight, too, against Plant, but it was a little bit closer as it went into those later rounds. And I was sitting here, working the CompuBox, counting the punches, and we're getting into the 10th round, and I thought Canelo was up in a close fight. But I also said, man, it would be nice to see Canelo put an exclamation point on this fight. He had, you saw a body language change in Plant late. If Canelo can put an exclamation point on this and he can score a knockout, it's just emphatic. It doesn't have to go. We don't have to go to the judges, because look what we saw Friday night on the top rank card with Meyer and Hamadouche. That was really, really bad judging. Didn't want to see that on what is going probably outside of Wilder Fury, the biggest fight of the year. So we didn't want to see any judging snafus. Canelo has now, knocked out his last couple opponents, taking right out of the judges' hands. So that's good. We like that from Canelo Alvarez. But listen, I've started to put out some gambling advice. I took that leap of faith today by putting out two picks. I put out the over of 9.5, which hit. I put out Canelo by knockout, which hit. So if you did place some bets after seeing the video I put out today, I'm happy for you. Listen, I'm not going to be right all the time, but if you follow me all week long, and I study. I know I put the numbers, then people want to say punch stats, this, that, and the other about them. But, I have a pretty good formula of picking fights and picking over-unders and figuring out who's going to win based off of historical data, based off of the eye test, based off of our stats. So I'm proud of that. And I'm going to be doing a lot more of that moving forward with some odds and some gambling stuff. Man, Canelo Alvarez is the guy. How about afterwards in the ring? He's given his post-fight interview. He's wearing a crown because he's got more belts around him than we've ever seen before. The king of super middleweight. And he gives one of the best lines with my man, Felix de Jesus, as the interpreter. It was kind of, they were looking back and forth, and Canelo goes, "Sorry about the motherfucker incident." How great is that? Because, they had that altercation at the press conference. Good buildup, though. Was a good buildup for this fight. Mean Street Canelo is a sight to behold. I mean, just telling people that he wanted to just break the jaw of Caleb Plant. Yes, he did call him a cheater, but so did Golovkin. But we're seeing now Canelo at the height of his powers, in full command of him, 31 years old in the prime of his career. Despite the fact that he's now fought 425 rounds plus 11, 436 rounds in his career. But right now, speaking English, doing all these the media rounds, being more comfortable in his own skin, expressing himself, the moments that he had with Andrade after his last fight with the payday and everything. And now the buildup for this Plant fight. This guy's giving you everything. He's trash talking. He's knocking guys out. He's making history. I mean, sometimes the praise is over the top for Canelo, but how can, if you go against him, I feel like you're just being contrarian. You're just looking, you're nitpicking at this point, because he's undoubtedly the box office star. He's undoubtedly pound for pound best fighter in boxing. Like, how often does that happen where you got the best pound for pound fighter coincides with being the biggest draw? Floyd did it for many years, Oscar for a few before he dropped some fights too, but man, when the stars align like they are for Canelo Alvarez right now, it's a sight to behold, and we'll see what's next. The names, the names. It's Jamal Charlo at 168, he'd have to move up to 168, and he said he was willing to do that. David Benavidez has a fight next week. He's had issues making 168. He's had plenty of out-of-the-ring issues. I think Benavidez probably gives Canelo the toughest fight at 168 of all the options that are available, given his volume, given his power. Just don't know about Benavidez's defense. He does not move well, side to side. He's a little bit plotter, but I would love to see that fight. But those are the two from the PBC standpoint that we can see next for Canelo. Then, of course, there's the jump up to 175. The better BMs of the world, the B-Vols of the world. I think Dimitri B-Vol at 175 is a tougher fight for Canelo than better BM is. because I think Bivol can move. I think he has a jab, and I think he has enough power to keep Canelo honest. Plant didn't have enough power tonight to keep Canelo honest at all. Canelo was not worried one bit about the right hand of Plant. Plant doesn't throw that. He does, for, you know, pardon the pun, doesn't sit down and plant when he throws that right hand. He pushes the right hand with Plant. You know, once you saw a few rounds from Caleb, you know, pumping a jab, which was nice. You know, the shoulder roll defense, also nice, but he wasn't countering with the shoulder roll. If you sit there for 30, 40 seconds of the round in a shoulder roll defense, Plant, and you're not firing back, you know, you're not going to win rounds. He looked good. I mean, he made a good account of himself. He's probably going to have a nice long career, and he didn't embarrass himself by any means, Caleb Plant, but I also don't think he was even in the same stratosphere as Canelo Alvarez. But I think Bivol at 175 could be an interesting tango with Canelo. But the thing with Bivol is he's just not active. No one knows who he is at all. You know, he has one fight since 2019, Dimitri Bivol. Better be if we're going to see him in December against Marcus Brown. He's 35 years old. He is a devastating puncher, a little chinny, better be if, but you know, those are the two guys at 175. And of course, 800-pound elephant in the room is Gennady Golovkin. What does Golovkin want to do? You know, he still wants that third fight with Canelo. Does Canelo want that third fight with Golovkin? No. I think that's been very clear over the years. He was asked about it numerous times during the build up to this fight with Plant, and he said that, yeah, if I do decide to fight Golovkin, it's going to be at 168 pounds. I don't think Golovkin would have any issues going up to 168. He's in a cash grab portion of his career. He's fighting Murata at 160. It's admirable that he stayed at one weight class his entire career, Golovkin. But making 160 at age 39 has got to be tough. He's going to make a boatload of money to fight Murata in unification. It's not a foregone conclusion that Triple G is going to beat Murata. I mean, Murata has his flaws, but he's 39 years old. I mean, he's definitely at the end of the rope, Golovkin. But what do we say about the third fight with Fury and Wilder? No one wanted to see it, right? We had enough of it. Give us something new. Would you be shocked if Canelo and Triple G decided to fight and it wasn't a classic? It wasn't maybe the best of all three? Who knows? I mean, it could happen like that. So I think we learned one thing from the Wilder Fury saga, the trilogy, is maybe sometimes the third fight, if you're not really, there wasn't a lot of public demand for it, could end up being a classic. So I think there are some pretty good options for Canelo, but man, it's going to take a special, special fighter to beat Canelo Alvarez at this point. He's got it all. I mean, his defense was on point today. He was able to walk through some of Caleb Plant's punches because he just didn't have a lot of power on him. I mean, goes to the body. He's probably the best body puncher in boxing. He's one of the best counter punchers, the most precise. He doesn't throw a lot of punches. Canelo Alvarez doesn't throw a lot of punches at all, but he's so damn precise and he places them perfectly. You know, coming into this fight, he was landing 47% of his power shots. It was number one at super middleweight, number three in all of boxing. And he did so tonight, well above 40% of his power shots again. I mean, walking that tightrope, it's something to behold. Canelo Alvarez adds another feather to his cap. I mean, it gets to the point where we don't, you know, what's going to be his motivation? You know, he just completed the goal that he said he always wanted to do, is to be undisputed. And he did it at 168. You know, does he get up for a Charlo fight? Does he get up for a fight with Benavidez? Probably not. I think a challenge like Beterbiev or a challenge like Bivol in 175, probably Beterbiev because he's such a hard puncher and everyone looks at him as, like, you know, indestructible. That probably gets Canelo out of bed, gets him out of his silk pajamas that he's been wearing all week long. Interested to see what's next for him. I wouldn't be shocked if he still wants to stay on this, like, three fight a year or four fight a year. Four is a little ambitious. Three fights a year, and he wants to fight in February. I would not be shocked if he takes one of his mandatories at 168 and fights in Mexico, like he's been saying he's wanted to do for a while now. And I wouldn't be shocked if that was with Matchroom. I wouldn't be shocked that that was on DAZN, like another Anvi Yildirim type, where he blows out of the opponent. It's a big homecoming, get, you know, 100,000 fans. It'll be a spectacle. I mean, that would be great. You know, we'll get to see Canelo fight again in February and then get back to your May, September schedule. You know, he's been fighting a lot in May. He hasn't been missing that Cinco de Mayo. He's been missing the September, Mexican holiday. That is huge. I mean, this fight was in November and still did big, but I know or think that he probably wants to get back on that May-September schedule. And this is when he's got to do it. He's 31 in the prime of his career. If he wants to fulfill everything now and really go for the jugular of being one of the best all time and getting into that discussion, getting into the discussion of being the best Mexican fighter of all time, which he is now, as of tonight, is closer to that than he ever was. You know, you want to maximize your star power right now. That's fighting three or four times a year. I'd love to see it in Mexico. Man, I would like to, like, if I could plan it out right now, I would say Canelo fights in Mexico in February or March. Let's just say February against a Andre Yildirim type, defends one of his belts, huge spectacle on the zone. And then in May, he fights Jermall Charlo. And then in September, it could be a toss-up between Benavidez if he stays with the PBC or goes up to 175 in one of those challenges. That would be insane for Canelo Alvarez. And if he, it would just add on to, you know, what he's done in the last 12 months. And now you're looking at a 24-month span of him just taking on all challengers, all weight classes, fighting guys that we said he'll never fight Charlo. He ducked Charlo at 160. He ducked Benavidez at 160. You know, he can go. It's in his hands. It's literally in his hands. He's the shot caller. He's a free agent. He can fight on DAZN. He can fight on ESPN. I'm pretty sure Beterbiev is aligned with Top Rank in ESPN. I know Showtime and Steven Espinosa, who did a phenomenal job with the lead up to this fight, made it feel like a big event, wants to keep him in the Showtime family. But love for him to fight Charlo. That would be a great buildup. I don't think it would be a competitive fight. I think Canelo wins that one pretty, probably easier than tonight against Charlo. But it would be marketable because people know who Charlo is. He's been featured on Showtime, Fox for the last 3-4 years. Isn't that the PBC formula? It's pretty much what they did with Plant. If you think about Caleb Plant now, as a fighter, signs with PBC, not really a can't-miss prospect. PBC builds this guy up, builds him up to a title shot, wasn't supposed to beat Uzkategi, beats him, puts him on Fox, gets huge ratings against no-hopers, and then cashes him out for $10 million. That's a pretty good plan if you're signed with a promotional company and they lay out, this is our five-fight plan for you. And you're Caleb Plant, and you see it culminating with a $10 million paycheck against Canelo Alvarez in one of the biggest fights of the year. It doesn't happen for everyone. Stars have to align, as we know in boxing. Things have to go right. Canelo Alvarez has to move into your weight class. You have to have something that Alvarez wants, the cash cow, and that was the IBF belt. You know, and that's why belts will always matter, as much as we say in boxing that there's too damn many of them. Caleb Plant holding that IBF belt was literally, that's a $10 million belt. That's why he got $10 million. Charlo's not getting $10 million to fight Canelo. Benavidez is not getting $10 million to fight Canelo. Golovkin probably will make a lot more than those two to fight Canelo for a third time. Beterbiev has something that Canelo wants in terms of history with a belt. He'll probably demand or command more the nose. So if he fights on Showtime and he fights a Charlo or Benavidez, Showtime could save there on their opponent and maybe get a better undercard. Let's talk about the undercard a little bit. It was on paper, people said this undercard sucked, but in reality, it was pretty damn good. Elvis Rodriguez in the first fight defeated Juan Pablo Romero, 5th round knockout, a perfectly placed counter shot. It was Elvis Rodriguez's first fight with PBC. He was cut by Top Rank. He was one of the best or most highly touted prospects last year. He fought a bunch in the bubble. He was cut by Top Rank after his loss to Sims. PBC comes in, scoops him up, and put him in tough with Pablo Romero, who was a pressure fighter versus a more calculated guy in Rodriguez. How about this? 159 of the 169 punches landed in the fight were power shots. They were slinging and they were winging, and Rodriguez gets the win. He now reestablishes himself at 140. Still a prospect, not ready for some of the killers at 140, but definitely a good night for him. Ray Vargas defeated Leonardo Baez. That went to the distance. Good action fight. But it was Ray Vargas coming off of a really long layoff. Stays undefeated, 35-0, I think, with a 2-year layoff. To show you how busy he was. Then Anthony the Dog Durrell, all 37 years old, KO'd Marcus Hernandez with an uppercut from the gods, an uppercut from the clouds. It was cartoonish. Somehow got through the guard of Marcos Hernandez and knocked him out. That was awesome. So the undercard had two pretty good knocked out wins and a fight that went the distance that was fun. I think that's pretty good. I mean, if considering that $50 million went to the main event in terms of fighter payouts, and they were probably left to, Ron Katz and the matchmakers and all the guys that Luis de Cubas and all the guys that make the matchmakers at PBC, Tom Brown, you know, they had to kind of are on a budget for an undercard, and it delivered. So now it doesn't always deliver, but that one did. But tonight was all about the main event. It ended before UFC 268 kicked off. There was a picture of Dana White watching the fight, Canelo and Plant, that was been going around on Twitter. Don't make too much of that. That's just him waiting to see when the fight was over to put the main event on. They're doing the same thing. The guys at Showtime were probably watching the UFC event as well. They monitor. It's as much as I'll tell you or anyone wants to tell you that, you know, these two sports aren't the same. It's very much the same. It's a combat sport, huge pay-per-view going up against each other. So I did like the pacing of the Showtime pay-per-view tonight. You know, they were obviously not going to wait for UFC 268 to end, like we saw a few years ago with Canelo laying on a couch, which was probably ultimately the demise of Canelo and Golden Boy and DAZN, or at least the fragment started right then and there. Espinosa told you all week, hell no. And when he was asked if they were going to wait for the end of 268, that would have been 1-2 in the morning. But I like the pace. They went right into the main event. They didn't, kill any time. They didn't do any fill that you see on some of the other networks. So I thought Showtime did a good job there. Maybe would have liked to hear a little more from the corners. I know they'd like to do their corner audio afterwards, Showtime, after the fight's over. They package it together. But I think some of the best drama is always found in the corners. Over the years, some of the best moments in boxing have been in the corners. Where else will we hear, I want to pour some water on your balls? Well, Emmanuel Stewart with someone, going crazy, or Teddy Atlas telling Tim Bradley, we are firemen. I would like to have seen, what Reynoso was telling Canelo. We got some of it. I would like to have seen what Plant's trainer, who was, relatively unknown, what he was telling Plant. I just like to see a little more of the corner stuff, but I can't nitpick. I thought it was a good show from Showtime. They're having a hell of a year. We got Fulton Figueroa for Showtime. We got Benavidez coming up this month. This month's loaded. November, this is a heck of a kickoff to November. Next week, we got Munguia and Rosado. Then you got Benavidez also that night against Kyron Davis. And then you go into November 20th, Crawford and Porter. You got Demetrius Andrade and Jason Quigley also November 20th. Then we head into November 27th, Thanksgiving weekend. Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos. Yes, they're actually finally going to fight at MSG. That's a matchroom fight. Then you got Stephen Fulton and Figueroa, which could probably be the best fight of the whole weekend, or the whole summer, excuse me, the whole month of November on the 27th. Then you want to head into December. December 3rd, we're going to see Devin Haney, and we're going to see Jojo Diaz. They made that fight official. They had a press conference this week. We're going to see Tank Davis and Isaac Cruz. December 4th, we're going to see Jake Paul fighting Tommy Fury. December 18th, there's a lot of really good fights in the next 8 weeks. So it's been a good end of the year. This was the 8th unification bout of 2021. This was the 3rd undisputed fight of 2021. So when December 31st comes around, we take a look back at the year that was 2021 in boxing. We're going to say this was a damn good year. Best fighting the best, more than not. Canelo Alvarez in big fights. We saw a huge heavyweight fight between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. We saw 8 unification bouts, 3 undisputed bouts. So when people tell you boxing is dying, it's an old narrative that needs to be squashed. Sure, we're not getting the best all the time. There are definitely warts in boxing when it comes to judging and all these commissions and all these organizations and all the belts. But if you take a look at it as a whole, and you see that the best are fighting the best more than not. This has been a good year. 2021 has been a good year for boxing. Canelo Alvarez, as the king of the hill in boxing, is a great thing. He wins. I'm done talking. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. I'm going to rest up. This week, we're going to have a big show, Inside Boxing Live, coming to you midweek. Got a lot of good guests lined up. Probably have a two-minute, fastest two-minute coming out for you on Monday. We move onwards, as always, Team CompuBox. What a team. Bob Canobio, Lee Groves, Nick Canobio, all the punch counters at CompuBox, all the guys doing research. It is a team that cannot be messed with right now. We are pumping out content. We're pumping out punch stats, giving you gambling advice, giving you, you know, trying to make you laugh. We're trying to give you everything here at CompuBox, CompuBox TV, Inside Boxing Live. Appreciate everyone that follows on Twitter. Appreciate everyone that listens week in, week out. But we still have more to go in 2021. But hats off, Canelo Alvarez with a huge, huge win. He defeats Caleb Plant. We'll see you next time.